answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There is a storm in our nation. There is darkness and wind. People are getting hurt. What we need is not from on high. We need foot soldiers of our democracy who in times of trial are willing to stand up. Will you stand for our democracy? Will you stand to get out the vote? Will you stand for our children? Will you stand up for our elders? And will you stand together, unified, strong, be the hope that people need? We are Democrats. It's time for a new deal. It's time to redeem the dream of America.
Oh, you almost had me there. You had me on everything. Will I stand for the children, the elderly, and everything we need in our nation? You had me right until the point you said, we are Democrats. A replay of New Jersey Senator Booker talking about how we are needed to get this nation right again. You look back over our history, if you know our history, and I'm sure most of you do. First, there was Paul Revere shouting about the same level, if not louder, riding from town to town, the Redcoats are coming! The Redcoats are coming! There's Cory Booker's example of it. The Republicans are coming! The Republicans are coming! We got to do something! And they did yesterday, but I don't know if it's going to stand. We're talking about what happened in Virginia and their redistricting map. They swapped the map upside down. It had been for votes, congressional districts, to put members into the House from Virginia. They have 11 members total, and it had been districted for 6 were Democrats, 5 were Republicans, and then they campaigned and shoved it into the face of the voter saying, are you for free elections and fair elections? Well, hell yeah, I'm for free elections and fair elections. And the wording itself might actually be their undoing, because what happened was that there was such a swap out that out of 11 House seats from Virginia now, based on yesterday's vote, in that gerrymandering of the districts, 10 would be Democrats, 1 Republican. Is that fair election? Not just no, but hell no. We're going to get into that in more detail as exactly what it means if it stands. Of course, our first issue will have to be Iran, because we need to bring an update to that for you. First of all, welcome to hour number one. Larry Connors USA, April 22nd, 2026. Reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more information than you have right now, I promise you. And that applies to every hour. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the video. I strongly encourage you to do so. This is not just watching wallpaper dry up against the wall or paint or whatever. This is engaging radio, and you can watch it. Well, how do you do that, Larry? Oh, I'm glad you asked. You can go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you go to Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, both the audio and video. Available at News Talk STL. And, of course, reminding you at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And Larry Connors USA Facebook. Oh, and another reminder for you. You have a cell phone. You have a radio in your hand. Download the free News Talk STL app. We need minimum information. We do not sell your information. Download that app. You can listen to us from anywhere. I mean anywhere. We got 2 great FM signals, but if you go beyond the boundaries of what the FCC restricted us, you can't pick up the station. But if you got the app, you can. News Talk STL, free app. In our next hour, DEI programs. Thought they'd been canceled, wiped out. No. They have morphed. They're still alive and kicking and thriving, coming up through the earth again, just like worms coming after your flesh. Later in this hour, we're going to get into the questions about Kash Patel and how he's such a drunk, according to The Atlantic. And boy, did he fire back at them. Is it going to be good? We'll get into that story as well. Plus, the story behind the story. On this date, the only U.S. president to resign. I covered him, interviewed him two different times. Richard Nixon. That's still to come before we wrap up this hour. Now back to the latest situation with Iran. I want to share this with you. One Breitbart writer states, and I agree with him, and Breitbart is a right-wing publication, Iran is counting on American media to pressure Trump. And they are pressuring because they want Americans to say, oh, I'm hurting, this affordability. I'm paying an extra 2, 4, 5 cents a gallon of gas right now. And if it's tough for you, I do have concern for you. But we have men and women in harm's way in the Middle East right now. Can you not stand with our forefathers, especially during World War II when rationing was underway, sacrifices were being made? When we've got men and women in combat for our nation, you can voice your opinion. That's your right. But I got to tell you, I'd like to see you stand with our troops. You can disagree with Trump on what he's doing. That's fine. But stand with our troops. Quit weeping over a few extra cents a gallon and whatever else is bothering you. So Iran has decided to strike back itself at some of the ships going through the Strait or Hormuz are trying. In this Fox report, you get that update.
The UK Maritime Trade Operations reports two ships were attacked today, and there's reportedly a third. And this all comes after that extended ceasefire last night. The UK reports that first attack happened on a container ship around 4 a.m. local time, 15 nautical miles northeast of Oman. The UK says an IRGC gunboat caused heavy damage to the ship's bridge. About 2.5 hours later, the second cargo ship was fired at off the coast of Iran. The ship has stopped in the water. No reported damage to that vessel. Now, Iranian state media claims Iran attacked a third ship and has seized two of these vessels.
That's what they're claiming. You can believe it or not believe it. We do know this. Trump did, he said, extend the ceasefire a little bit more time because Pakistan, the negotiating agent for the sides, said we need a little bit more time. He says the ceasefire extension will continue until Iran submits a unified proposal. That's going to be very difficult because they don't even know who's in charge inside Iran. We don't know if we're talking to someone who's in charge or who might be gone tomorrow. So it's making this extremely difficult. It does look like, I will agree, Trump's backing away again. Well, would you rather have peace or do you want war? He keeps trying to find a way to use peace and bring it through our strength being shown in the blockade of the Hormuz Strait, but at the same time making it clear we will go in and take out every manufacturing plant, every oil refinery, every bridge you have in Iran, if that's what it's going to take. But he would rather not. Trump said the extension, according to the White House, one official stating today, is only going to last 3 to 5 days. Now, again, this follows numerous other ceasefires he put in place. This one, 3 to 5 days. If I were going to be a betting man, I would bet closer to 3 than 5. But it depends on what is actually happening inside the talks. And the Trump envoy to Turkey is doubling down after backlash because, again, those claiming that, look, we have Trump backing down again. He's like Obama. He drew a red line in the sand and won't stand on it. The U.S. ambassador to Turkey said, we are trying to reflect realism. This is not a change in U.S. policy. We are still pushing strength through policy. Peace through strength, I should say. Listen to what Trump had put out in one social media report, and then a response from a former CENTCOM commander.
We've taken out their leaders, frankly, which does complicate things in one way, but these leaders are much more rational. It is regime change, no matter what you want to call it, which is not something I said I was going to do, but I've done it, indirectly maybe, but I've done it.
And then Iran's foreign minister, the new guy, he said that blockading Iranian ports is an act of war and thus a violation of the ceasefire. Striking a commercial vessel and taking its crew hostage is an even greater violation. Iran knows how to neutralize restrictions, how to defend its interests, and how to resist bullying. Do you think they were trying to show that with what they did overnight in the Strait?
I do, Dana. I think that it demonstrates that they're not ready. Iran is not ready to negotiate, and they may not even be in a position to negotiate. They may not have the consolidation of power across the parliament, the IRGC, and the mullahs to get into some kind of negotiation. I'm also not sure that President Trump is 100% accurate in saying that these new leaders are more rational. I think Mujtaba Khomeini, Vahidi, the new IRGC commander, these are our hardliners. They may not be as rational as we're thinking they are.
I tend to agree with that. And again, that is Joe Bacino, former CENTCOM commander. All right, now to the battle for the midterms. In yesterday's Virginia vote, which gives Virginia 10 out of 11 seats in the House, it had been a 6 Democrat, 5 Republicans. But will this stand a legal challenge? Former GOP Pennsylvania Senator Santorum.
Number one, the vote was actually surprising in the sense that it was this close. Mm. I mean, the midterms have not gone well for Republicans. They have underperformed everywhere in the country. And here they overperformed. And I think it shows that a lot of voters in Virginia, particularly those in the middle, were really unhappy with this and thought this was, in fact, what it was, a partisan gerrymandering. I heard so many complaints yesterday when people actually read the language saying that this is about fairness. In elections on the ballot. I mean, the actual ballot measure calls this fairness in elections. I mean, it was a complete partisan job by the part of the Democrats, and it barely squeaked by in a fairly blue state. So there's actually hope for that. The other issue is what the courts are going to do with this. There are several legitimate legal challenges that are going to be heard next week in the Virginia Supreme Court, which tilts a little Republican. So there's actually a chance here that the process by which they got this ballot measure on the ballot could be overturned and the results of the election be nullified.
And again, that's Rick Santorum, former Pennsylvania senator and a political analyst now. You know, originally when the Virginia Democrat governor took office, she said, I'm not going to push for redistricting. Yeah, prior to being elected governor back in November, Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger said, I'm against it. I don't think we're going to do it. I have no plans to redistrict Virginia. But boy, did they. And with false, misleading wording on the ballot proposition. If they'd simply stated, you do know that if you pass this, out of the 11 seats Virginia has in the House, 10 will go to Democrats, only one for Republican. Let me put it to you this way. If I were on the other side, well, let me put it this way, I'll rechange it. Let's say it was going to give 10 Republicans and one Democrat, I would be complaining. So that's not a fair balance for the state of Virginia. It's not fair. But no, she's gloating now. Look what we did. And of course, Hakeem Jeffries right there with her.
House Democrats will continue to fight one battle after another on behalf of the American people. We're battling them on the economy, battling them on tariffs, battling them on health care, battling them on nutritional assistance, battling them on ICE funding, battling them on Donald Trump's reckless and costly war of choice, and battling them on their gerrymandering scheme. Last night was a big victory for the people of Virginia, a big victory for America and a big victory for democracy.
Let me read the proposition as it appeared on the ballot for the voters. Should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt new congressional districts to restore fairness, keyword fairness, in the upcoming elections? You're going from 6 Democrats, 5 Republicans to 10 Democrats, 1 Republican. That's not fair. But Jeffrey says, oh, no, no, this is what we need to do.
Donald Trump and Republicans launched this gerrymandering war. And we've made clear as Democrats that we're going to finish it on behalf of the American people. We will not let Donald Trump rig the midterm elections by gerrymandering maps all across the country without a forceful Democratic response. That is what you saw in Virginia. That is what you will see in Florida. And that is what has taken place all across the country. Prop 50 in California, forcing them into a dummy mander in Texas.
Dummy man.
Picking up a seat in Utah. Stopping them in New Hampshire. Stopping them in Indiana. Stopping them in Kansas, stopping them in Nebraska, pushing them back in Ohio, and winning a big victory for the American people in Virginia.
And fairness. You lie. You lie. It's not fairness. In the meantime, he's warning Florida, you better not try to redistrict. Well, Florida is likely to do so before the midterms. Now, we could see this Virginia ruling go to the highest courts in Virginia, if not the U.S. Supreme Court, because of the way the question was framed for the voters. Do you want fairness? That's a big question here. We'll talk about this more in our next hour. Coming up, we're going to look at Kash Patel and his lawsuit against The Atlantic. And also, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen saying, if you let the Democrats get back in control, know what they're going to do with immigration. Yeah. And the story behind the story on this date, Richard Nixon died. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John, Bill and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. true comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families' businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuire Moving. .com.
This is News Talk STL.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, bury me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my head.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The biggest issue we have is really the process. I had the Democrats on one side, these what the president likes to say kamikaze Democrats, that are for open borders. They want to they want to defund CPB, and they don't want to deport illegals through ICE. So they wanted to defund both agencies that are enforcing laws and protecting our borders. And keep in mind, we have been shut down for the longest shutdown in the U.S. government history, and our adversaries aren't shut down, and we're tasked to protect the homeland. That's like defunding Department of War, because we're doing the same thing. Department of War comes up to our shores. Department of Homeland, I take everything once it gets to our shores.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen pointing out that if Democrats get back in control, they'll certainly throw the borders open again. We've already heard from the leading contender for the California gubernatorial race. If I'm elected, I'm going to open the border between California and Mexico. You don't like Trump, fine. You don't like what we're doing in the Middle East, fine. But do you like safety and security in your own neighborhood and for your family and children? And again, I point out to you what I've often said, always watch what is happening in Europe because it will come to our shores. The European Union just issued this report, the Center for Research and Analysis on Migration. They've reached a record-breaking 64 million migrants living in the European Union. 64 million. Spain accounting for about a third of the foreign-born population growth. The face of Spain will change. Germany, again, they're showing 53% of first-instance asylum applicants coming from Afghanistan, Syria, Turkey, Venezuela, and other places. Germany leads the UN countries with the largest refugee population. They will be changing those nations. They're not coming in there to assimilate. They're going in there to change everything up. And this report, the UN admits the tough MAGA border policy has saved 1,000-plus migrant lives. Not those dying in the desert because they're abandoned by the coyotes. And something else to keep in mind. When you fly, you'd like to know that you're getting good, safe consideration and care by the airline, the pilot, and the air traffic control. That can all come crashing down again because during the Obama-Biden years, they did nothing to update our air traffic control system. Well, that will change. As the FAA talks about what we're going to be doing going forward.
So the radars today, they're absolutely past their economic useful life, meaning that we're having to spend a significant amount of money to maintain them and trying to source parts. It's extremely difficult. Although our team at the FAA is keeping those radars functional, so they work fine. But the issue is that we can rebuild or we can replace. You know, President Trump has said, let us build a brand new air traffic control system. Let's stop, you know, throwing billions of dollars at, you know, trying to keep the existing system sustained. Let's move into the 21st century. Let's get rid of the analog equipment and move into the digital world.
FAA Administrator Bedford making common sense statements. And again, the left has let this crash on its own. And I use the word crash, and I do not mean as a pun, but it's a reality. Air traffic controllers, we're seeing an influx of those applying to be an air traffic controller. That's great if they're all vetted, and they're actually going to be wanting to help keep America's skies safe. But we also need to update the equipment. On to the issue with Kash Patel and the Atlantic lawsuit. As you're probably well aware, and in case you hadn't, he filed a $250 million lawsuit, what he called a defamatory hit piece published by the Atlantic. Because according to them, that he was pretty much a drunkard. He got asked a question about that.
Respond directly to the allegations in the Atlantic article that your unexplained absences created a national security risk. And beyond that, can you say definitively that you have not been intoxicated or absent during your tenure as FBI director?
I can say unequivocally that I never listen to the fake news mafia. And as when they get louder, it just means I'm doing my job. This FBI director has been on the job twice as many days as every director before me. What that means is I've taken half as many days off as those before me. I've taken a third less vacation than those before me. This FBI with this Department of Justice has dropped the murder rate 20 points. This FBI with this Department of Justice has captured 8 of the top 10 most wanted fugitives in the world, twice as many as the Biden administration did in its entire 4 years. This FBI has seized enough fentanyl off the streets to kill 178 million Americans, a 31% increase. This FBI and this DOJ has arrested 43% more spies in 14 months in the entirety of the Biden administration. This FBI has seen a reduction in opiate overdose deaths up to 20% alone. We have found 6,300 child victims. 6,300 families have their kids back. That is a 22% increase from the Biden administration. I'm on the job. I'm the first one in. I'm the last one out. I'm like an everyday American who loves his country, loves the sport of hockey, and champions my friends when they raise a gold medal and invite me in to celebrate. I've never been intoxicated on the job, and that is why we filed a $250 million defamation lawsuit. And any one of you that wants to participate, bring it on. I'll see you in court.
Well, the Atlantic reporter says, I talked to more than 24 about Patel's conduct, including current and former FBI officials. And she said that several told me that Patel's drinking has been a recurring source of concern across the government. They said he's been known to drink to the point of obvious intoxication. So despite everything he's talking about what the FBI has achieved, and he's right about that, he's faced with these allegations as published in the Atlantic Monthly. So he's suing. Now, to sue, you got to look at the 1964 Supreme Court ruling regarding malice. As a public figure, he's going to have to prove that the Atlantic acted with malice, knowingly publishing something false or showing reckless disregard for whether it was true or not. And that will mean that Patel will be opened up to discovery because they'll be coming back against him and want to see all of his texts, his messages, and everything else. So he's putting a lot at stake, but he says it is worth it. But again, according to the article, on multiple occasions in the past year, members of his security detail had difficulty waking Patel because he was seemingly is a crucial word there, seemingly intoxicated. You have a hard time getting up in the morning, you're just tired and beat, and you put in all the hours that Patel or even Trump, do you think you might have a little difficulty waking? I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm just raising the question. And The Atlantic says Patel's drinking, quote, was no secret, and did point out that on an official travel to Italy, he was filmed chugging beer with the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team. Yes, he was. And he said, I did do that for our team. The lawsuit, as laid out by Patel, again says all of this is false and it was published with malice. $250 million lawsuit. And you want to continue to stand with them? Bring it on. I'll put you in the lawsuit as well. The magazine said, we will vigorously defend The Atlantic and our journalists against this meritless lawsuit. Stop it right there. Stop it right there. How many times through the last several years have we heard the left legacy media say, we're going to defend what we said here. We're not going to change a damn thing. We know we're right. We're not moving. Oh, yeah, the Hunter laptop thing. Yeah, that did exist. Our bad. Let's move on. I'm not trying to say there's a true correlation, but don't forget that kind of history. And Patel's statement again, the article is replete with false, obviously fabricated allegations. And the lawsuit states, Director Patel does not drink. Well, let me add, Patel does not drink to excess. Your host here, yes, I've hoisted a few as well, but I don't drink to excess. Maybe by some standards, but not to the point of falling down drunk. That's not what they're saying you did, but you might have trouble waking me if I've had a couple and I'm tired. I don't know. Hey, let me take a moment to tell you about Vincent's Jewelers is one of our sponsors, and it's my only jeweler. I want to share something with you. Mother's Day is coming up, and this is critical, not just to push Vincent's and what they're offering, but how children often like to do something for mom, your children or grandchildren. Vincent's is now offering a deal. Bring your children or grandchildren to Vincent's Jewelers on Olive and let them pick out a gift for mom. Let them choose. There are gifts as low as $25. Earrings, things of that nature. So when they give it to mom, they can say, Mom, I picked this out. I think that's a great idea. It's introducing these kids to, one, jewelry and the value of it. But more importantly, it's something that they can say, Mom, I got this for you. Whether or not they paid for it, I picked it out for you. I told Leo at Vincent's Jewelers, I think that's a great idea for kids to get involved in something that direct in honoring their mother for Mother's Day coming up this next month. Coming up next, the story behind the story, the death of Richard Nixon.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
The statement of Richard Nixon before he left the White House and the presidency. It was on this date, 1994, that the 37th U.S. president died. Richard Nixon, born to a modest Quaker family in California, a high-achieving student, went to Duke Law School as well, a Navy officer in World War II, senator, then vice president under Dwight Eisenhower, and then, of course, the race for the White House. And, of course, he lost his first presidential election to JFK. And prior to that, he had run for governor of California in 1962 and lost that, and it was seemingly going to be the end of his political career. He moved to New York to practice before staging a comeback in the 68 election. I interviewed Richard Nixon twice, and I'll get to that in more detail a little bit later. But you can't tell the story of Richard Nixon without the scandal of Watergate.
The thing that's so appalling to me is that the president, when this whole idea was suggested to him, didn't in righteous indignation rise up and say, get out of here, you're in the office of the president of the United States. How can you talk about blackmail and bribery and keeping witnesses silent?
In mid-1971, the Pentagon Papers were leaked. That report proved that administrations from Truman to Johnson had intentionally expanded their Vietnam War efforts, in contrast to what the public was told. The Nixon administration then panicked and formed a covert group to halt leaks. Nixon advisor John Ehrlichman assembled the White House plumbers and included former CIA agent E. Howard Hunt and former FBI agent G. Gordon Liddy. Soon, the president's political rivals were recorded on Nixon's enemies list. Politicians, journalists, and even Hollywood actors Nixon feared could stop his re-election were included and were harassed by the administration with tax audits, legal action, and more.
And all that's been documented. And in the beginning of that, you were listening to George McGovern talking about how Nixon was aware of this and let them speak about it in the Oval Office. He said, should have said, get out of my office. This is the presidency of the United States. I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep that in mind because in our next hour, We're going to play that same analysis, reference Barack Obama and what he was told regarding the Hillary Clinton Russian Gate hoax. And he said nothing to stop it then either. That was Obama. I'll get to that later in our second hour. See, these programs are often interwoven. You can't get just one part of it. You want to get all of it. And we deliver, as we said, education every time. And then came June 17, 1972.
Prior to the 1972 election, the Republicans created a Committee for the Re-election of the President, or CRP. John Mitchell stepped down as Attorney General to chair that committee. The CRP used questionable and illegal means to achieve their goal. For example, Mitchell kept a slush fund to subsidize information gathering on the Democrats. Ultimately, a plan was approved to bug and steal information from the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate Hotel. On June 17, 1972, during the second of these break-ins, the burglars were arrested.
The Democratic National Committee is trying to solve a spy mystery. It began before dawn Saturday when five intruders were captured by police inside the offices of the committee in Washington.
The FBI quickly linked those arrested with Hunt. Because of Hunt's connection to the plumbers, Nixon ordered his chief of staff, Bob Haldeman, to instruct the CIA to block further FBI investigation into the finances behind the Watergate break-in. The cover-up began.
Mr. Nixon, did you know about the burglary of our Democratic National headquarters at the Watergate?
The Nixon administration then officially denied involvement in the burglary. However, more clues emerged that conflicted with this. Aside from the Hunt connection, one of the burglars was a Republican Party aide, and a paper trail led to the CRP. On June 20th, Washington Post journalist Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein reported on the Hunt connection, with confirmation from their anonymous source, Deep Throat. This team was instrumental in unraveling the Watergate case and in implicating the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, and the White House.
We now know that Deep Throat was the secret nickname for William Mark Felt Sr., associate director of the FBI. He revealed his identity in 2005 at age 91 in a Vanity Fair article, acknowledging, yes, I was Deep Throat. I was giving Woodward and Bernstein the information they needed. The break-in was the beginning of an Operation Gemstone enacted mostly by Cuban burglars led by former intel agents E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy. But, of course, then they got caught because of a stupid mistake, basically. And then we had congressional hearings, and then one member speaking out at the congressional hearings dropped a bomb.
Official investigations began in mid-1973, led by Senator Sam Ervin and Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. They proved the connection between the burglary and the White House and CRP. Dean became a valuable witness when he divulged Nixon knew about the cover-up. In July, Nixon assistant Alexander Butterfield explosively revealed the existence of Nixon-installed recording devices throughout the White House. Those tapes were subpoenaed. However, Nixon refused to release them, citing executive privilege.
This principle of confidentiality of presidential conversations is at stake in the question of these tapes. I must and I shall oppose any efforts to destroy this principle, which is so vital to the conduct of this great office.
To save himself, Nixon dismissed the Attorney General, his deputy, and Cox in the Saturday night massacre. Public outcry followed, and Nixon responded with one of his most quoted speeches in November 73.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Not a crook, but the tapes were there, and one of them had an 18-minute gap on it, never to be explained as to how that happened. As I told you, I'd interviewed Nixon twice, actually during the Watergate crisis and then after he left office. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad, to continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the President and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour.
That soundbite and the others you're hearing were all part of a Watch documentary, but they're from numerous sources as well. I always try to give you the source, but there are multiple sources. But he did resign. But I want to point out to you, while he denied involvement in the beginning, that his administration destroyed evidence and obstructed investigators, bribed the burglars. The cover-up initially did work. Nixon won a landslide re-election until the 73 trial of the burglars in front of the Senate Investigative Committee. During that time that everything was still in play, Richard Nixon wanted to get out of the Beltway and all the Beltway reporters. He came down to Houston to visit NASA. I was a reporter in a Houston TV station. And normally when crowds are available for the president, he will walk over and shake hands with them. Reporters and photographers are put in a different, what we call a pen. Even though we've been verified credentials and everything, he doesn't go to us. He goes to people who've been unvetted, unchecked. So I told my photographer, we're going to get in with the public pen. And as he came forward, I stretched out my hand to shake hands with him, held firmly, and then brought the mic up and started asking him questions. And I will tell you this, every question was a softball question because I just wanted him to stay as long as possible. And he talked about the can-do spirit of America, the can-do spirit of NASA. And then he got relaxed, so I relaxed my hand, and he stood there with his arms folded in that common pose. There's a picture published in one of the Houston papers that shows a guy's big foot standing behind Nixon. That was Ron Ziegler, his press agent, pulling him at his coattail that we need to go. But he was enjoying talking to me. And we were the only station to get an interview with him. And again, it was a lot of puff, but it was the only one that was done. ABC Network picked it up and played it, as well as others wanting it. And the second time I interviewed him was after he had been ousted, resigned, and he showed up in St. Louis for the Clayton Club in downtown Clayton and delivered a speech. And I was told, you cannot come in, no cameras going to be allowed, and you're not going to be allowed. That's all right. I knew where he was going to exit in the parking garage. So I'm there with the microphone as he comes out, and I ask him and start asking questions again. And again, it was not a real tough interview. I will be the first to acknowledge that. But I was getting as much interview time as I could with him. The Nixon Library put out an interview that they did with Nixon, and it is worth listening to, and again, at this point.
At no point did you say, or have you said, that something as simple, which is that you've said that you won't grovel, and but there's a difference between groveling and being sorry. Are you sorry for it?
My answer to that question, and to those who say, will you apologize? Are you sorry? is simply a fact. There's no way that you could apologize that is more eloquent, more decisive, more finite, or to say that you are sorry, which would exceed resigning the presidency of the United States. That said it all, and I don't intend to say any more.
If I recall, when I interviewed him in Clayton that night after he's finished speaking to Republicans and others at the University Club in St. Louis at the time, Clayton, I think I asked the same question, but I don't have access to the audio from Channel 4 at that point, so I really can't tell you if I did or didn't. I think I did, but his answer wasn't any more than what you just heard. But the interviewer for the Nixon Library asked the other big question.
A man cannot sit on his own jury. However, if I were to be presenting the case before the jury of history, I think this is what I would say. The instant historians understandably are obsessed with Watergate. They see hardly anything else about me except Watergate and rate me very low. I understand that. Historians maybe 50 years from now, I would hope, would see it in more perspective. Yes, there was Watergate, the first president ever to resign the office. That's part of history. But there's also a more positive part. As far as the presidency is concerned, I'm the president that opened relations with China after 25 years of no communication. I ended a war in Vietnam in which there were 550,000 Americans there when I came in, and none when I left. I ended the draft.
Yes, he did all that and more. But how do you want to be remembered? As he said, a man can't sit in his own jury. And he knows that still Watergate was going to be over him all that time. And it is still today. Richard Nixon passing away on this date, 1994. And yes, the only president in our history to resign in disgrace, but still insisting he had done nothing wrong. Tomorrow's story behind the story, when I came close to dying in a West Texas oil field. I shudder to just relive it in my mind right now. I'll share that story tomorrow. Second hour still to come. You don't want to miss it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.